Welcome to the Sea Change Show, where leaders are changing business culture for good. I'm your host, Maura Barclay. If you are a new listener, thank you so much for finding us. And you did not find us by accident, please take a moment to hit that plus sign, hit subscribe. Seriously, I am always amazed at the caliber of people who say yes to this show. I mean, it's incredible. You're not going to want to miss a single episode. And if you are a frequent flyer, thank you so much for coming back week after week and sharing us with your friends. It is because of you that this podcast has now been ranked in the top 5% of business podcasts worldwide. And I thank you for that. This is a highlight episode for the interview that I did with Amrit B. Johnson. And if you did not catch that, it was November 23rd, Thanksgiving. And this man is so remarkable. I enjoy all my interviews. His perspective is so fresh and so unique. If you didn't listen to it, I highly recommend that you go back to Thanksgiving Day and check it out. One of the things that I found most remarkable about him is he does not really identify with any of the limitations of his ethnic legacy. He was very fortunate. So he's a Black man from, I believe he's from Kansas. Oh, I hope I heard that right. He's from United States. He's from the middle of the US. He's not from a big city. He's Black. His mom and dad were both very educated, and he grew up with that comfort, with the understanding of education is key to all things. And he just grew up with that idea. Now, the thing that I wanted to unpack about our conversation, and I'm going to go down a rabbit hole a little bit, is this notion of grace. And all the progressive intolerance, there's this, it's very strange. It's strange to me that everybody wants everybody else to change. And that is never going to happen. So all of us are engaged in a completely futile dynamic, a conflict with no resolution. There is much banging of heads against walls in progressive and conservative spaces. Conservative people will never, ever be able to convince people who are gay to not be gay. That is like trying to convince a tree to be a dog. It's not okay. In the same way, we can't ask people who have been entrained, raised in a culture of privilege and exclusivity, we can't ask them to do a 180. It might be morally and ethically the correct way to be, putting it correct in air quotes, because exclusion and homogeny are kind of against nature. I mean, nature wouldn't work. We wouldn't have a planet if that's what happened. So I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the policies of the few to serve the few at the disadvantage and expense of the many. I don't agree with any of it. But I also know that asking these people to make these huge 180s is never going to happen. So the question
needs to stop being, what's the matter with you? We need to stop. Everybody needs to stop asking that question. And we need to start asking, where is a space that we can coexist and work well together? Where is it? Now, for people who are extreme in their personalities, extreme in their beliefs, they refuse to Venn. And I'm turning the concept, the noun Venn diagram, into a verb. They will refuse to Venn. They only want to associate with people who share their values. Because frankly, when your values are so deeply against humanity, are so separated from love, they are fragile and they cannot withstand questioning. The closer to love we are, the closer to understanding we are, because love is strong, compassion is strong. When I say love, folks, I'm not talking about romance. So we all need to grow up about that. This country loves to infantilize the notion of love and in relationships because it sells things. When I talk to Amrit about grace, this notion of grace, giving people grace, and the idea of, well, I can't give you grace anymore because you just won't change. That's not what grace is. And I can completely relate to the exhaustion of dealing with unfair circumstances and inequities, illegal inequities. No one said it would be easy. And there's more moments where, unfortunately, you just need to move on to places where you are understood, seen, valued, accepted, and paid well for your skills. And of course, eventually, by the law of economics, those who refuse to make even a little progress towards progress will eventually find themselves in obsolescence. And I believe it is that very fear that keeps them hanging on to their power and influence well past their expire date, as far as their leadership strategy is concerned. More than anything, I wanted to draw a comparison between relationships outside of work and relationships inside of work, and that how we conduct ourselves and what we identify as our personal culture ought not to change. And by that, I mean, if you are kind, just be kind at work as well. If you are patient and collaborative, if that's your style, if that's your personal culture, then you just are that at work. And when you're dealing with people out in the street and at work who don't share your values or don't know how to be kind, they haven't yet learned how or have been taught to specifically be obnoxious, hostile, passive aggressive, threatened. These are very deeply fearful people. And typically they are the ones in charge. Not always. But this concept and notion of grace, this is what's going to make the biggest difference for us as a people. And that every time we want to contribute to peace, it is up to us to get up every morning with that devotion to that idea in our mindset. There was once, I went to a Kabbalah center once. I was so curious. I'm a Jewish adjacent, raised with the culture, but not the religion, by agnostic Jewish people. There is such a thing. I think it's called humanistic Judaism. I digress. I went for my birth month, which was Av. That's the Hebrew word for August, I believe. And the symbol for Av, one of the letters, is it looks like an N that's pointing back on itself. And the sermon or the lecture, the discussion that day at the Kabbalah Center was about personal responsibility and how we have the opportunity to contribute to the circumstances we would like to see materialize in our world. So for example, if we're carrying a lot of aggression and violence in our heart against people, justified or not, we are contributing to violence everywhere because it's all connected, folks. So when we start talking about grace, it doesn't matter whether we're in business. When we start talking about humanity, it doesn't matter if we're talking about business. If we start talking about love, actually, we should be talking about business and these concepts. The time has come. The time is way overdue. It's well overdue. And the companies that pick up on these human aspects that are inherent to psychological safety, high trust cultures, will inherently contribute to high performance, to attracting rock stars, to exponential growth, diversification, continued growth, continued market share, dominating the competition. That's how you make more money. That's the thing that's so funny to me. It's like people don't see the relationship. They only see what they've got, what they're doing, and they have no concept of what they could be doing and how much they could be making and what that would look like. And I think, funny enough, these people know. As I said, they're not willing to Venn. They're not willing to Venn diagram because they don't want to part with their understanding of how the world works. It's just too scary. And they're too fragile, frankly. Anybody who lacks the resilience to Venn diagram, to find this area of overlap where work can be done in harmony, in authentic harmony, that's a fragile person. And that's not bad. It's just an indicator. And they have to be propped up with power and influence and expensive things and la, 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 because that's what they were told makes them worthwhile. And how sad is that? So when you're thinking about having grace with people, just be brutally honest with yourself. Are you, quote unquote, forgiving someone because they're so lame and giving them grace is an act of superiority on your part? I've done that and I've seen myself do it. I'm like, oh, I'm being an asshole right now. It looks like I'm being kind and patient, but I'm really being an asshole because I'm totally judging them. I'm like, oh, that's okay. You ignorant person. You'll get another shot in your next incarnation. Gee, what? That's not grace. Grace is the things that bother you, that bother me about you, are things that bother me about me. And I'm just seeing myself project them. I see it. I see the things about me that I fear the most in you. And I see how much alike we are. And at the end of the day, we all want the same things. That's grace. It's not fancy. It's not romantic. No one's ever going to make a movie about it. And it's absolutely essential to the survival of our species. So, as you approach your work as an active ally, as a sponsor, bring the capabilities of forgiveness and grace every day, really, by seeing yourself in the people that bother you the most. That is the path to grace. True grace. Like, holy crap. Oh, I see it in myself. I'll put it to you this way, folks. If you were a very tolerant, discerning person, who felt so secure with their power that they knew that no matter what happens, they're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. The world's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. We're all on our path. If you're that person and you meet someone who is deeply racist, you know that that is part of their learning journey and that there's nothing that can be done. You don't have to laugh at their jokes. You are discerning. You don't need to do a Sermon on the Mount. It's not going to land. You can see the parts of yourself that you have grown past because you're grown. You are not a juvenile who fears the other. You're a grown ass adult, mature, emotionally capable, and emotionally intelligent. People like that really don't get triggered. It's intolerant people that get triggered by racism because it triggers the intolerance. And what's racism? Intolerance. So just recognize that it's intolerance in another form. And as soon as we make space for people, they stop fearing the other. We just need to make more space and invite and trust. I know that sounds crazy. It's the opposite of what you think, but I believe that to be true. And you don't have to believe it, and you don't have to listen. I invite you to give it a try. Make space for the person to be okay exactly as they are and see what happens. It's the resistance to them in you that they are pushing against. It doesn't even need to be said. So just try it as an experiment one day. Don't go in with some bullshit, cockamamie, superficial, I'm okay, you're okay bullshit. Go in with, holy crap, I'm scared of you because you show me things of myself that I'm scared of and I don't like and I don't want to see them in you. Recognize there's space for both of you. At the end of the day, nobody knows anything. And we're all just kids walking each other home. So try that on, see what happens. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you hanging in there with this little meta unpack. Thank you for listening to the show. Share it with your friends. Appreciate you. Take care.
Thank you for spending your time with me today. I appreciate you listening and taking in all of the incredible conversations that I have the privilege of having with these remarkable guests. Please take a moment to share or rate and leave a comment. It really helps people understand what we're doing here. I hope this gives you some tools to be an active ally or help another be an active ally and a sponsor for those who are underrepresented so that we can make the pie bigger. This is not a zero-sum game, and the purpose of this podcast is to be the rising tide that lifts all ships. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.